You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We're stretching out a little bit further from California to Boston. Today we have Omri Traub, the founder and CEO of Popcart. Welcome, Omri, to The Pilgrim on the 405.
Thanks. So great to be here.
So tell us, what's Popcart?
So Popcart is an online shopping assistant. I think it's interesting to think about how we came to this idea maybe 3 years ago or so, because at the time it felt like a really pressing need for this kind of technology. But I have to say that in the last year, ever since the pandemic, it really took off with the rest of online shopping. So if you allow me, kind of we'll start from the beginning.
Sure, absolutely.
So I come from a technology background. Done, it's my third or fourth software startup, depending how you're counting. Most recently, I was doing big data analytics after Oracle acquired my last startup. And in all of this, I found myself really falling in love with Amazon again. About 3-4 years ago, my wife went back to work full time. We have young children at home. And I just found myself ordering new things on Amazon that I hadn't ordered before. I think paper towels, you know, snack foods. It's like incredible convenience. And I've been an Amazon user for, I don't know, 25 years now or something. But I started playing around with some of the data, you know, being a data geek myself. I downloaded my purchase history. I got information from my friends. And I realized that when I was reordering items on Amazon, it was like rolling the dice every time. And I think the light bulb went off in my head when I noticed in data from a friend of mine that he was on subscribe and save for Kleenex tissues. Ordered it, I think, 7 times in 1 year. 3 times he paid $50. It's this mega pack of tissues. That's the going rate. But 3 times Amazon charged him $80. And then 1 time Amazon charged him $104. Okay, so same items. We'll talk about maybe marketplaces and third parties. But this is Amazon first party. So Amazon selling them directly the items. And the thing is, he didn't even know about it because he was on autopilot. You know, subscribe and save. You think, I locked in the price. It's Amazon. Even if the price changes a little bit, how far could it change on
right.
Kleenex, right? And that was really eye-opening to me about what algorithmic price setting has done to online commerce and how we as consumers, you know, definitely sometimes benefit from it when the prices fall, but how much money we could be throwing away by really not paying attention to what's going on with pricing. And that's the genesis for the Popcart idea.
Very good. Very good. So how difficult was it to put this together?
It took quite a while because what we set out to do was at a pretty large scale, put together competitive price information about these everyday goods from toilet paper and paper towels to shampoo or hand soap and systematically look across the different retailers. We started with Walmart and Target and Amazon. Those three are very competitive with each other right now. And we found incredible opportunities to save people money, especially when you consider the prices on a per unit basis between comparing the different packaging variations. So we did that. We put together the technology infrastructure with that. And then along the way, we kind of had the epiphany that while this is very relevant for the everyday items, of course, we can also do this for everything that you shop for online. And that's where we expanded Popcart to include anything from electronics and toys and apparel and furniture. And I think one of the joys for me of using this service is really kind of the dopamine hit of looking to see the price spreads that exist online.
Right.
Because, you know, sometimes we take it for granted, like I'm shopping for Legos for a kid, you know, on Target and Star Wars Legos at $50 sets. And you think, oh, that's a good brand, right? $50 sounds reasonable. And then Popcart pops up and says, no, you can have it for $15 less on Walmart or something. And so it's just an observation about the power of branding and how willing we are to kind of believe at some level any price that you tell us, as long as we have some trust in the retailer, like these, you know, important retailers. We're not talking about, you know, used items on eBay here. but how it's through the systematic putting to use of technology to automate, and we do this instantaneously, we don't make you wait for this, automate checking the prices across those retailers, that we can find you those saving opportunities, but also give you kind of further insights into what is an item really worth. Should Legos be $50 or $30? It's through the comparison that you really get to the crux of that.
I think you put your finger on it earlier when you were talking about ordering online. There's a dopamine hit in ordering online. I found it. I bought it. It's going to be here tomorrow. There's something about that that feels very good. I think that when using Popcart, when I get it less expensive, then I have somehow I've used the system to get beyond when somebody wanted me to charge me $50, I wind up paying $25. There's another dopamine hit there.
That's right. And I think that we've talked to so many people in this startup journey of ours about how they shop and how they think about deals. And I think there's something really universal about this desire that we have to get a good deal, or maybe conversely, not to feel like we're getting screwed. And that extends across gender, male, female, across socioeconomic. I've talked to people who are living, you know, more or less paycheck to paycheck, all the way to, you know, venture capitalists who are making, you know, millions of dollars.
Right.
But it's this drive to get a good deal and to try to outsmart the retailers.
That's it. It's to outsmart. That's right. That's where I think the dopamine hit comes from. I've done something that this big company, I've done something to get what I want, because you're not talking about we're going to get a cheaper thing. We're going to get exactly the same thing, right? Just for less expensive, less money.
That's right. And I think what we've seen over the last, God, with Amazon, 20 years, but with e-commerce taking off, is these retailers like Amazon or Walmart or Target or Wayfair putting incredibly sophisticated technology to use in trying to figure out what the best price. It's a fascinating case of microeconomics and supply and demand curves. And the prices on Amazon adjust definitely multiple times a day, sometimes by the minute.
Yes.
And it's just unbelievable to study one item that you might be interested in over time and see just how much price fluctuation there is. So they're using technology and, you know, we are the target, right? They're kind of gaming us. And I feel like with Popcart, we've tried to flip a little bit that power dynamic and say, look, we can put equally sophisticated technology, but we're going to put it at the hand of the consumer so that we have this agent on our side watching prices over time. And we can talk for a moment about some extensions we've introduced over the last 6 months to alert you about price drops and, and all the rest. But fundamentally, it's about finding the price spreads, the best price, and giving you that shopping advice as you're looking around.
It's the gamification of consumption.
Yes.
You know, to get what I want, I could go down to the grocery store three blocks away and I can get what I want. Or I can sit here in my house and I can have the fun of having somebody bring it to me. And when it comes tomorrow, that is exciting. There's something about that that I command and it comes. That's magic. It's dopamine. It's fun. And so what I hear is consumption is becoming a technological video game.
Yes. Now, what we try to do at Popcart is not make the decision for you. Mm-hmm. It's just do the grunt work for you. So it's not fun to open 20 browser tabs and look across 20 different retailers and do the same search everywhere else just to get that, you know, dopamine rush of comparing and making the best choice. So what we've done is we've automated that part. Computers are good at that, but we put the options in front of you and compare it. And I keep coming back to those industry term is CPG, consumer packaged goods, right? The everyday essentials that we use at home, just because it's the most obvious there that retailers play trick with you and manufacturers, for example, toilet paper. What's the difference between a mega roll and a super mega roll and a family size roll and all of that? And Walmart will have a different packaging from Target. It's unbelievable when you reduce it to the unit price, the insights you get. You know, the biggest roll is not necessarily the best deal. No, you don't necessarily have to buy in bulk. There's just, and if you compare it on a per unit basis, you could be paying, you know, 10x the price for something that on paper looks like a good deal, but it's not. And so that's what, you know, again, we geek out on the data, and I don't mean to suggest that you have to like be a data analyst to make use of this. It will just be like we pop, we find you a better choice. But if you want to delve a little deeper and you look at what's going on between those retailers, especially when you make variations in the packaging, it's fascinating what you find in terms of the
fascinating price. And it becomes a game.
Exactly.
Because it becomes entertaining. I mean, exactly. The difference going down to the grocery store and looking at in our grocery stores, we have, you know, sometimes it's per ounce and sometimes it's per sheet, but they've broken it down into unit prices so that it could compare them. That's a kind of an interesting game, but that's kind of work. But online with Popcart, right. it's just another button to push in my video game.
That's right. And I have a lot of respect for people who in, you know, yesteryears used to go and look at the circulars every week and try to figure out which grocery store carries the best deal that week. I feel like the modern version of that is the automation that we bring so that you can pick the best store. And we're not going to send you again to an eBay or to an unknown store that maybe will get you the item in 3 weeks. It's all 1-2 day shipping these days. Like everybody's followed Amazon Lean.
Yeah.
But there's a real opportunity if you're willing to be flexible about where you're getting the item or when you're getting the items, because sometimes it's worth waiting.
Well, and I'm going to go so far as to say it's not always about saving money. It's about having the fun of getting a lower price.
Right. So now let's fast forward a few months ahead, right, to the pandemic. And this is now we're kind of celebrating, if you will, the 1 year anniversary of lockdowns here in the US. And I remember vividly last March, where as we were going to lockdown, all of a sudden everybody was, you know, there was a rush on online supplies for toilet paper, Clorox, yes. Wipes, Purell. Yes. We all remember this, right? And then I feel like the pandemic has brought sort of the best and the worst of online shopping out. The best part is it was safe, right? We don't have to go into the store. And, you know, we've gotten these heartfelt thank you emails from customers at that time saying, you know, I'm a single mom with a baby. I feel so much better not having to go to like 3 different stores looking for these essentials. So really online shopping, I don't take responsibility for that. It's really come through for us, but it's also brought the worst aspects, namely the price gouging that was happening.
Right.
Let's talk about that for a second, because I think that, again, it's something that we haven't really noticed, but there was a shift in the last 5-10 years on Amazon to the point where more than half the items sold on Amazon.com are actually not sold to you by Amazon. They're sold by a third party.
Right, right.
Unless you pay real close attention to the sold by and shipped by lines next to that buy box on Amazon, you may not know that or know where you're getting. Now, some of these third-party sellers are great, you know, large brands or even large businesses that are reputable and just fine. But then sometimes there are people like you and me who are trying to make a buck and manipulate the system. So there's a whole host of practices that we can discuss and kind of catalog between drop shipping and dynamic price setting. But the bottom line is that you don't always know where you're getting it from, when you'll be getting it, or you can't always trust that the price is a fair price. And we saw that when the pandemic first hit.
Yeah.
And so, but back to the lockdowns, what happened is there was started seeing severe shortages to, not in my memory in the US, I experienced this online. We've gotten used to, like you said earlier, getting what we want, when we want it, you know, 2 days later. So all of a sudden our friends started calling us at Popcart and saying, can you help me buy toilet paper? Because we were sitting on this database of essentially real-time data about where these items are available. And we started buying them for their friends. And then we thought, hey, what are we doing here? Like, why not open source this? And we built the service that basically was a real-time feed that you can subscribe to for a product you need. Clorox wipes, masks, Purell, toilet paper, that lets you know when it's back in stock, and then you can click through and try to get it in time. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't foolproof, so maybe every third or fourth time you click through, you were able to get it. But for many of our friends, it was the only way they got it. And then we opened it up to hundreds of thousands of, mm-hmm. of people using the service. Mm-hmm. So I think to me, that introduced this other dimension of, we talked about the dopamine and the gaming, is there's one aspect of gaming when shopping online, which is getting the best price and sort of reverse engineering these price spreads and kind of outsmarting.
Right.
And then there's the dopamine hit of, there's something I really want, which is, you know, Clorox wipes a year ago. And then in this holiday shopping season, it was a PlayStation 5.
Yes.
Right. If you follow that, of course, but it was that dopamine hit of kind of jumping to the front of the line and being able to secure that limited commodity when it was so difficult to find it online. And that's, again, when we found that we can bring technology to bear on that problem in a really interesting way.
Well, and that's what entrepreneurs do, isn't it? Find a problem and fix it.
And the problems presented themselves to us because we were so focused on pricing. Yeah. And then we took availability of these items for granted. Of course you can buy Clorox wipes online. Why wouldn't you? Who needs them so much anyway? And then all of a sudden there's a shortage, a new problem presents itself. And that's when we were able to try to quickly address it. And it was
my wife, when toilet paper was not in our grocery store, she was online, and when she couldn't get it there, she wound up getting all of these little rolls from China that took 2 months to get here. But now we have six packages of these tiny rolls. They're good toilet paper, but they're different. They don't go on a rack. It's a very different experience. But it's very interesting to see how this whole online shopping, because once you start shopping online, you're really shopping globally.
Yes, I've had the experience of getting items from China, a month later, and I wasn't even aware that there would be that kind of shipping delay.
I bought some things 2 months before Christmas online. They were very inexpensive, but they were stylish and cool. And I bought them for my daughter and my granddaughters and my wife. Well, Christmas came and I had to say, we've got all these other presents, but we're going to have the 12 days of Christmas, and you're going to get a present every day, because I was waiting for those to come, but they finally did come. Right. But it's amazing. It's amazing. It's not like, we're going to China now. It's just buy it here, and wherever it comes from, it comes from. It's amazing.
It's amazing. We did a kind of a more rigorous survey recently of items that our users are browsing using PopCart. And we found that about 2/3 of the items on Amazon had something that we would consider a red flag, right? Mm. So what's a red flag? Either the seller is sketchy, right? And that's common practice where sometimes the winner of the buy box, the person Amazon deems to be the best available current offer, if you click buy now, it will be from that seller, is either a non-reputable seller with a lot of negative reviews, somebody who just joined Amazon, and usually that means that they're kind of trying to scam and you may not get the item. So there's some issue with a seller. That's problem number one. Problem number two is there's just a much better price elsewhere, like we talked about with Legos. And so Amazon really isn't your best choice. And then problem number three is, it's just not a good price. If you look at historical prices, even going back 30 days, this item is significantly above the average price. And maybe waiting a few days or a few hours will net you a better price. And so that's kind of what's motivating us to use PopCart and to really think of it as a shopping advisor for you. Again, because the retailers are so technologically sophisticated, this is technology on your side that tells you where to buy, when to buy, and from whom, which retailer and which seller are you really buying from? And just to make you a more informed shopper, not to say that you have to do it one way or another, or if you want to pay more for an item and get it now, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's amazing. Just amazing. So now a question, Where does Amazon Assistant fit into your game plan?
Well, Amazon Assistant, interestingly, is a browser extension like Popcart that's doing something similar, only it's only one way, right? Mm-hmm. So as you're shopping elsewhere, they try to get you into Amazon, but never the other way. And so
that's right. That's right.
Yeah, we are just neutral. We're on your side. And, you know, some other extensions out there doing something similar have a hidden agenda. Sometimes they would sell you, they would send you to an eBay listing. I wouldn't buy most stuff like that from eBay. But we just, you know, give you the best deal, regardless of whether or not we have some sort of an affiliate marketing relationship with the retailer.
All right. So talk to me about startup. Tell me about financing. I mean, entrepreneurs have great ideas, sometimes stumble because they can't get the financing that they need. So tell me about how you got started finance-wise with Popcart.
Well, in that regard, I think we've been really fortunate. We're here in the Boston area, and I have a very large network here in the startup space, in the entrepreneur space, and also with venture capitalists. Again, I was a part of this amazing team at a company called Endeca, which in 2011 was sold to Oracle for over $1 billion. It was one of the largest exits here in Boston area. Mm-hmm. One of our advisors and investors is Paul English, who's the founder of Kayak, the travel comparison site. And so we've just had the good fortune of being connected to that venture capital community. And so basically, as soon as I found my way out of Oracle and decided that I wanted to start a company, I ended up joining one of the venture capital firms here in Boston.
Oh,
CRV as an entrepreneur in residence, where they just kind of incubated the idea for about 6 months. And when we developed enough conviction that we wanted to build this tool, they immediately just wrote us a check for a seed level of funding, which was enough to get us started.
Very good.
I know that's not the same for everyone, but what I will say is, compared to when I started out my career in the late 90s, the barrier to entry for startups has gone down tremendously, right? Mm-hmm. With cloud computing, you can, if you presses of a button, you know, launch incredibly powerful compute on the cloud, and, you know, make your dreams come true with coding in a way that 20 years ago, there you go.
Well, I was going to say the same kind of thing. This is the book that I wrote. I just published it a couple of months ago, but I was able to write it on Google Sheets or Google Docs, imported the style into it. I wrote 10,000 words in 2 weeks, 500 words a day, right? 10,000 words. And then within 3 days, it was up on Amazon. And it's...
And I see it physically, right? Not just an electronic copy.
No, they did it. It's print on demand.
Yeah.
I don't have to have an inventory anyplace. It's just went up there, popped it up there. The next day, people could buy it. And I can buy it and ship it to people through Amazon.
Yeah.
And plus the ebook, it's there immediately. It's amazing the kind of things that people can do today. And it's not just do-it-yourself hobbying. You can really produce products and services online so much easier.
Yes. And especially now that I'm paying attention to online shopping and e-commerce, there's an incredible rise in what's called a direct-to-consumer movement, right? If you can imagine a product, a kind of product, and you can make it often by having, you know, a design that you can ship off to some factory in China, you can bring it to market with a shiny storefront on a site like Shopify and really be up and running in just weeks. And then it's all about marketing and branding, like we discussed before, make it look great and shiny, and often you can be very successful. Yeah.
Well, I designed the cover myself on Canva and it took me an hour. Boom.
Right.
And you know, and Alibaba will manufacture anything you want.
Right.
Right? It's amazing. So talk to me now about what's your business plan? How do you make money? I mean, I don't pay anything for Popcart.
That's right. So at the simplest level, every time we refer you to a website, we get a small percentage of the purchase when you make it. That kind of relationship is called the affiliate model.
Mm-hmm.
It's been in place for many years. Again, I just wanted to emphasize that we don't bias our results at all by that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Amazon is not paying us any money, but we still include it in our search results. I think longer term, what happened just over a year ago is that a competitor of ours, a comparable product called Honey, which I'm sure you're
very much
familiar with, because they have really brought this idea of this shopping assistance browser extension to the mainstream. They got bought by PayPal for $4 billion. That was eye-opening for us, you know, because we dream big, but I think that and a lot of people, you know, discuss the price there and was it worth $4 billion? But I think it just goes to show how hot this area of online shopping is and how valuable it is to have a tool that has become popular with a lot of consumers and helps them on that path to the purchase.
I'm sure you got a text immediately from Paul English saying, hey, look this.
I did. And for my investors as well. So not promising anything yet, but.
Well, Honey been around for a while.
Honey had been around for a while. Honey's really, they did something really smart, which is they automated that process of trying out the checkout codes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to be the, you know, last idiot on the internet who doesn't know about the save 25 code. But I think the interesting observation about that is that, again, speaking of dopamine, it's a great rush when you get 25% off. But I think what we're not programmed to see through is 25% off of what?
Oh, yeah.
So that's, if it's 25% off of a really high price, it may not be a good deal. And what we see in PopCart all the time is for that, instead of that 25% coupon, we can actually find a different price and a different retailer that's 40% cheaper all the time.
Yep.
So coupons and checkout codes are part of the answer, but I think that a systematic price comparison like we're doing is actually nets you a whole lot more savings than promo code.
Well, let's talk about your path forward with PopCart, but also talk about the environment. Now that we are looking at having herd immunity maybe by July, August, September.
Yeah.
I don't think people are going to quit getting their dopamine fix from buying online just because they can go outside now.
I think that's right. I think that, you know, some experts are saying that online shopping, e-commerce has been accelerated by 5 or 10 years by this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels right. These behaviors that we learned are not going to be unlearned anytime soon. Lots of people
mm-hmm.
who were shopping online started shopping for all these, you know, essentials like these, you know, toilet paper or paper towels, and they're going to keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of PopCart customers who are really first-time online shoppers, older consumers who really haven't had a good reason to try online shopping, and now, like lots of us, are.
You got muted, Omri.
Yeah, I'm sorry. One second. Okay. So the. Excuse me. So I think that's here to stay. And I think that even as people come back to stores, what we are following as a trend is what I'll call the hybrid model, right? Where we may be doing the research and completing the purchase online, but we're actually picking up an item at the store. And that's the industry parlance for that is click and collect.
Mm-hmm.
I think different retailers call it, you know, curbside pickup or store pickup. It's surprisingly popular. It's actually been popular in Europe for 10 years now. It's very mainstream, but I think it took the pandemic here in the US to bring it to the consciousness of the mainstream shopper here. The idea that you don't have to wait 2 days that have somehow slipped into sometimes 4 or 5 days on Amazon. You can actually buy the item right now and then drive to a Home Depot or a Target or a Kohl's or one of those retailers that has so many stores available near you. Best Buy is another example.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pick it up within an hour. So that's kind of this hybrid model where it's a digital shopping, online shopping experience, but a physical experience of picking up an item. And I think we'll see more of that play through.
How about the reverse? I'm going into a Best Buy and I see the price. I can take a picture of it and Amazon will identify the picture and give me a price comparison.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that. We're actually working on a version of a PopCart mobile application.
That's what I was going to ask, if you had one, because that is my comparison shopper in my phone.
Yeah, interestingly, nobody has really gotten comparison shopping right on the phone. You know, we have some tools already on the desktop computer, like Honey, a tool from Capital One called Capital One Shopping, formerly Wikibuy.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, yeah.
Normally, you know, competitors of PopCart, again, I think we do price comparison much better than they do. They're very focused on that coupon code checkout. Uh-huh. But nobody has really gotten that right. There's a kind of green field opportunity as we see it on mobile. So mm-hmm. we're going to be introducing a PopCart mobile app within the next couple of months that addresses that. And one of the features is going to be a barcode scanner. So again, another kind of dopamine gaming rush where you're in the store, Best Buy or Home Depot, wherever you are, and you scan an item and you can instantly know where you could buy it online, often for a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Or what other store you could buy it right then and drive over and pick it up.
That's right.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. Well, what else do you see in the future for the marketplace?
So we talked about the rise of the whole direct-to-consumer, right, mm-hmm. where sometimes it's people, entrepreneurs like us coming to market with products. I'm seeing more and more in the space of e-commerce brands taking control of the experience. You know, Nike is a high-profile one that pulled out of Amazon after, you know, many years of experimenting with their presence on Amazon. You can still buy Nike items on Amazon, but it's resellers or third parties. And really trying to have people shop on Nike, and it's a much better shopping experience. So I think mm-hmm. brands are realizing that they can have more control over the shopping experience, and consumers are starting to go there. I see PopCart playing a role because whether we like it or not, Amazon is still the de facto starting point for most mm-hmm. online shopping searches. Mm-hmm. Statistics is more than half the searches start on Amazon, not on Google, not directly on a direct-to-consumer website. So I feel like we have an opportunity to, again, be on the side of the consumer and say, go ahead, Amazon is the ultimate catalog. Jeff Bezos called it the everything store, mm-hmm. right? And that's great. It integrates this Uber catalog of everything, but often you can have a better experience, better price, better shipping when you go directly to a consumer site. And when that's true, we will turn your attention to that and get you there. So I think that's another trend I'm seeing is the rise of the direct brand experience as an alternative to the Amazon as an aggregator.
So what other nice extensions to PopCart are you contemplating?
I think the mobile experience is the biggest one with mm-hmm. mobile first features like scanning, like push notifications when something that you set an alert on has come back in stock or has experienced a price drop, because often these are time sensitive, mm-hmm. like on PlayStation 5 or Clorox wipes, if or when would they go out of stock. And it's been interesting for us to, you know, just looking at the data that we have to see so the rolling trends in which items are experiencing these supply chain shortages. In the winter, mm-hmm. it was patio heaters. You know, you guys live in Southern California, so maybe you don't need as many of them as we do here to New England to socialize mm-hmm. through this winter, but it's been this continuous stream of products that just go out of stock. Mm-hmm. And so that's that's been an important piece of what we're doing, and the mobile application is going to be the best form factor with push notifications on that.
All right. So where do you see the company going? What, you know, 5-10 year target? What do you see it growing in terms of jobs and people, or is it?
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, being a technology first company, we're always going to be a little bit leaner than, say, a company that has a retailer footprint, for example. Mm-hmm. But definitely looking forward to growing looking forward to increasing the way we work directly with retailers to have custom promotions and deals for pop cart shoppers rather than just accepting prices as they are. I think that we have an opportunity to kind of make introductions between the shoppers and the brands who are trying to reach them. I see us really playing a key role in transforming the whole shopping experience. And price comparison for us is just the hook. It's you know, at startups, you always talk about what's the insertion point. Like, and I think successful startups have found a way of having this narrow wedge into a problem and doing that one thing well, and then expanding from there. So for us, it's price comparison, where we have identified this incredible opportunity to save you lots of money by just automating the process of comparing prices. But ultimately, what we're after is helping you throughout the shopping experience. So from the research phase, I don't know about you, but I'm faced with Amazon search results every day for just everyday decisions, like a USB cable or some trivial item. And there are all these brands that I don't recognize. And I find myself relying on techniques like who has the most reviews. And I know that those are manipulated and I don't have a much better choices. So integrating PopCart into the earlier in the buying experience with help on what to buy, buying guides, looking at reviews, and then all the way through the checkout experience and payments. I think there is definitely a need for this shopping tool on the consumer side. The way, going back to Paul and his experience with Kayak, you know, they started with flight search, but nowadays Kayak, Expedia, Hopper, all of those also do rental cars. Hopefully sometime soon we'll be traveling again, but rental cars and hotels, TripAdvisor started with, you know, reviews on the Airbnb, on the bed and breakfast or the hotel, but then expanded into trip planning and giving you advice in general. So same way, we're starting with price comparison, but we really aim to expand and help you throughout the buying journey online.
That's the old Arab the old Arab saying about never let the camel put his nose under the tent. You will find out you're outside the tent before it's over. Good. So, so tell us what, you know, what I'm curious about as an entrepreneur, successful entrepreneur, what is your daily life like, your weekly life like? I mean, are you working 90 hours a week, working 3 days a week? What does it look like from your position?
Well, everything changed a year ago, right? I don't go to the office. Here I am in one of my son's bedrooms. It's been eye-opening for me. I've always been such a strong proponent of physical work, co-locating with colleagues. And this is really the first time I'm doing communication with a team remotely on this scale. And it's been, I think, surprisingly effective for me. We've learned to patterns of communication through tools like Zoom. On a more personal note, you know, here I am at home for the last year. We had a baby a year ago who's just over a year old now. And so I think that being able to just go downstairs and spend some time with him has been incredibly satisfying and, you know, a little bit of the silver lining from this whole pandemic and lockdown period. So it's been a balancing act made, I suppose, both more difficult by the fact that my work and my home life are now co-located, but also easier for that reason, in a sense.
Will you continue maintaining some time at home?
We will for the foreseeable future. Again, we'll watch the development. And then as we hit the next milestones in our company's growth and start dramatically hiring and expanding, I think will be a time to get some office space again, because I do believe that it's special and different when you can just, you know, swivel in your chair and look over someone's shoulder and work together. But now, for now, we're making this work.
What do you use for remote communication? You use Slack? You use Teams?
Yeah, we use Slack. Amazing how that transforms the communication. I really try not to use email at all these days.
Right.
Because it's there's a record, it's conversational, it's so effective.
Excellent. Well, what would you like to, well, how do people find PopCart? I mean, what's your marketing thing? Do you have some way of letting it rain down on people so everybody has a chance to use it.
It will be an immersive experience. We'll find you anywhere and sell you popcorn. Head over to popcart.com. Hopefully you'll find it useful. Again, as a browser extension, watch out soon for our mobile application that's coming. But it's the best way to find out more.
Well, if somebody wanted to talk to you about PopCart, wanted to integrate it with something else, or wanted to talk about investment, where would they get in touch with you?
Shoot me an email. I'm otraub@popcart, or you'll find a contact form on our webpage, and we'll get in touch with you.
Excellent. What would you like to tell people as we finish up? What would you like to leave people knowing?
I think what I'd want for people is to open their eyes a little bit when they're shopping online. I think life is so busy, and often we shop in the margins of our day, make quick decisions. So I just think it's important for people to be aware that while in 2021, it feels like the golden age of online shopping in terms of the availability of everything, it's also the case that things are much more complicated than they have been even a couple of years ago, and they ought to be paying a little bit more attention. So I think with a little bit of caution and maybe some help from a tool like PopCart, I feel like online shopping is this incredible asset to us these days. But I think that it's worth just paying a little bit more attention as you shop.
Great. Well, it's been wonderful. I'm so glad to meet you, Omri, and wish you all the best. And I'll be popping along with my PopCart application. It's online, and I've already seen that there are places where I could save money.
Thanks, Will. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Take care.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist.